Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. We are still in our series on Peter's journey with Jesus. And this morning it is on, is life of sacrifice worth it? Have you ever watched figure skating? I like to watch figure skating, and you know, it used to be they were just skating, and now they're doing quadruples, flips, and spins. And do you know the people who give their lives to become gold medalists? Give their whole life. They start as children, and they get a little better. Now, only one wins the gold medal, but there's probably a million kids out there that are trying for it all the time, giving their entire life, giving 6 to 8 hours a day skating from early years of 4 and 5 and 6 years old all the way, and they just give everything. They forsake all their friendships. They don't have a child. Their family has to suffer much. They've taken place and taken place, and it is amazing to see all of that. And they forget having fun. It is all out. They forget everything. And for all these years, they get it. We only have Olympics once every 4 years, and there's only one winner. And these little girls and these little boys give everything. Is it worth it? They must think it is. I want you to think with me this morning about what we give for Christ. Peter in our text says, Lord, we've left all and followed you. All. When you become a Christian, it's just not something that, I'll take a little bit on Sunday. Do you know Christianity today has become that? I'll take a little bit on Sunday and hope God blesses me and prospers me and makes me healthy and wealthy and all of that and blesses me and gives me all stuff. That's not what He promised. You're going to hear a text this morning that just blows you away and you just realize, wow. Barney, come and read our text for us. Luke chapter 18.
Let's all stand. I'm reading today from a Bible my wife gave me on our 9th wedding anniversary, February 13th, 1969. We've been married 58 years. And to God be the glory.
Amen.
But I want to read something that I'd written years ago in the back here. Sin will take you farther than you want to go.
Yep.
It will show you more than you want to see.
Yep.
And it'll cost you more than you want to pay.
That's right.
Let's read our Bibles together. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why call me good? None is good save one, and that is God. You know the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, and honor your father and your mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth and up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that you have, and distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall that they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said unto him, Who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God.
Amen.
Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed you. And he said unto them, truly I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world become life everlasting. And then he took him unto the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished.
Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Barney. Let's look at our text here. Verse 15, Luke 18, verse 15, it says, and they brought unto him also infants. There are three sequel texts here in Mark 10 and Matthew 19. Mark 10 calls them young children, that he would touch them, but when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. They scolded him for bringing, you're bothering Jesus. Verse 16, but Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer, permit, allow little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. It belongs to the little children like this, little faith, simple faith. Verse 17, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise there enter in. And Mark 10 says he took them up in his arms and blessed them. Aren't you glad you're saved? Salvation is simple, simple. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner, he's the Savior. I need to take myself off the throne of my life, put him on, and he's my God, my Lord, my Master, and I'm to live for him because he died for me. Period. All out. Simple faith. Do children have simple faith but complete faith? You know, to get your children up in a loft and they're there up in the loft and they're saying, Daddy, Daddy, and you say, jump. Do they jump? Yeah. Dad catches them. Now if Ron Lee's up there and she's crying and I say, jump, she has all kinds of thoughts. And she should. They have simple faith. That's all he's saying here. It's just, they believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and save them all the way to heaven, and they trust and they follow. I trust you know you're saved here, because this is so important here. Verse 18, where Barney began. Verse 18. In Mark 10, it says he was on his way to Jerusalem. This guy comes running. It gives the passion of this guy. In Luke, it doesn't show that. And he kneels down before him. Verse 18, it says, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do? First wrong word. To inherit eternal life. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? Jesus is correcting him. None of us are good. Is that right? There's only one good, and that's God. All of us need a Savior. And now he's also saying, I am God. Powerful here. He says, there's none good save one, that is God. And he says, well, let me answer your question. Verse 20. Thou knowest the commandments. You're wanting to know what to do? Yes. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not lie. Honor your father and your mother. And the man says, what's he say? I've done all those. You got to be kidding me. I've talked to some people and I said, how do you get in heaven? And then people say, I keep the Ten Commandments. And I say, well, have you kept them? They all go, oh, I never thought about that. You know, I just said I keep them. You know, how good do you have to be to go to heaven? perfect. If you break one of the laws, you're guilty of all of them, God says. We're hell-bound sinners in need of a Savior. And this man was just saying, what do I do? That was their philosophy. What rules do I obey to get to heaven? And they had them. And he says, I've kept them all from my youth. Man, you're not looking too good. And he just says, Jesus didn't say anything to him. He was into obedience, in keeping rules, in keeping religious traditions. He was not into loving, serving, fearing, enjoying, worshiping the living Christ. It was just, what do I do? Note what he says here in verse 22. Now when Jesus heard these things, in Mark 10 it says, behold, he loved him. I just love that. You know, guy, you're missing it. You're thinking about doing when you're supposed to give him all. He's supposed to, like a little child, trust him. He said unto him, verse 22, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all thou hast, distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. Come, Mark 10 says, take up your cross and follow me. Now we're going to see in Mark chapter 10 verse 24 that he trusted in his riches. Now he's not saying here that every one of you are to sell everything you have and give to the poor and follow Jesus. This man, he was trusting in his riches to save him. He loved his riches, and that was his idol, his God. And so Jesus just said, man, you think you've kept all these commandments. I want you to know you haven't. But I'm going to show you one that's going to blow you away. You think you're a follower of Jesus. Sell everything you have. Oh, I have too much. And follow Jesus. We are to be generous people and giving people. Does the Bible also say that if you don't take care of your family, they're worse than infidel? So there's some directions there. And the Bible says we are to take care and we are to give. We're to have families and we're to do and we're to provide. But he was saying, you trusting in your riches, you're a wealthy man and all you do every night is count how much money you got. And that's what your God is. And he says, I want you to go home, sell everything, and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. He wanted you to do something for God every day and dominate your life for God. And he says, this one thing you're missing. And he says, do this. Come. Take up your cross. Follow me. Verse 23. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful because he was very rich. You know, Jesus says he was sad at the saying and went away because he had great possessions. Mark chapter 10. And it is amazing here. Jesus wants you to realize if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you got to be like a little child. You got to trust him and give everything to him. If you have houses and cars and lands and jobs and family and all of these things, they're to be given to God for his use, his help, his blessing. They're not for us. They're for him. And everything you have should realize he gave them to you. So use them for him. Also, you have time and you have breath. Is that right? You have words. In our culture, we've turned a culture out that everything is about me. And you got to... I have to work on it. You have to work on it. All of us have to work on it. Because we have a very materialistic culture. Do we? Shake your heads. I'm caught up in it. Shake your heads. And I'm to have my life all for Jesus, that I am to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Jesus, and to be in it for him and not for ourselves. And he says, you're in it for yourselves. You are to be loving me, serving me, enjoying me, worshiping me, fearing me. That's what life should be. Yes, you got to go to work, but you can go to work with God. You can be praying for the people at work. Yes, you have to live in a house and you have neighbors. Is that right? I was mowing my grass on Thursday and I run over a yellow jacket's nest. And all of a sudden I looked down and I had yellow jackets all over my shoes. And so I was sitting there going, my neighbors were watching me. And the neighbor came over and says, something wrong with you? I said, I got yellow jackets all over me. I go, ah! Do we need to love our neighbors, huh? Be a part of our lives. And but where it's not all our stuff. You're going through life, functioning, is that right? Doing. But it's not about you. It's about your God putting you in your world to reach your world. And that's work, that's neighbors, that's school, that's friends, that's hobbies. Is that right? It's all about God. It's not about you. It's not about your stuff. To realize this, He wants you. He didn't want you to keep a record of all the rules you were keeping. He wanted you to have life. And this guy was caught up in his wealth. And it just dominated him. Says, hey, get rid of your idol and follow me. And that's mainly what he's saying. Get rid of what's keeping you from serving God. You're trusting in your riches. Somehow you're going to make it to heaven because how much money you got. And he says, no, no. Get rid of your money because it's ruining you. And that's what he was saying. He wasn't saying that to everybody. He was saying to this man, each of us have our different idols. Things that pull us away. Be it hobbies, be it interests, be it things we love. Do we need to be careful at stuff like that? Let's all shake our heads. We're caught up in something, and we got to realize God wants us to love Him more than anything. We're going to get into that in a minute here. Then he said this, verse 24. And Jesus said unto him, he was very sorrowful, how hard shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Verse 25. It is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. There has been stories here of what this means. This is a hard one. Some have said, well, there was a gate in Jerusalem called the needle's eye, and a camel had to get down and work so hard to get it. I was listening to John Piper this week, and he says, I've never seen that gate, never heard of that gate, and that's not a gate that's there. He says, this is saying that a camel cannot go through the eye of a needle, and it's impossible. You're sitting there going, whoa, it's impossible. And then he comes out because the reaction of the believers, in the disciples in verse 26, and they heard it and they were astonished out of measure, it says in Mark 10. And they said, who can be saved? A camel can't do that. We're in trouble. Nobody can get saved. That was their response. And here's where you get the great position here. And he said, verse 27, everybody look at it. Verse 27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. We have a God of the impossible. Huh? Hope you know that. Is it a miracle for anybody to get saved? A miracle. A miracle. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. It's a gift. And Jesus paid it all. And you receive it. And you are to commit your life to it. He died for you. You live for Him. And it's who can get saved? It's impossible for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. And it's impossible for anybody to get saved. And this guy thought, well, I do this. I'm a good guy. I'm a good guy. And Jesus said, sell on. I can't do that. It's impossible for anybody to get saved. But you have a God of the impossible. And don't ever let that be something that's not exciting and real. And you realize He's the God of the impossible. He can take care of me. If you can trust Him to take you all the way to heaven when you die, you can trust Him today to meet your need and your struggles today. Very important. and He's the God of the impossible. He's God. And you need to get Him so big and so near and so powerful that you can realize He's the God of the impossible. And that's where they were coming from. We can't save ourselves, but He can save us. Verse 28. Put the next slide up. It's important that we realize that here. Then Peter, here's Peter. We had not heard from Peter yet, but here's Peter. Peter speaks up for all of them. Lo, it means, Lord, we've done that. Lord, lo, look out. You know, look. You know, be revealed here. We've left, note he used the word we. He's speaking for the disciples. We've left all and followed you. We've given up everything. They were fishermen, is that right? They left their nets, followed Jesus. It's important that we realize that He wants everything of us. He wants you to take Him with you and be a part of whatever you are doing every time you're doing anything. If you can get that in your head, He'll be the joy of your life. It's wonderful, but it takes surrender. First is surrender. You know, Lord, you know, we're to follow You. We're not to follow me. It's not me. I surrender me. I give me to You. You're my King. You're my Lord. You're my Master. You're my joy. You're my happiness. I surrender. I'm living for You. I'm not living for me. I surrender to You. And Jesus desires His followers to be absorbed in one single exclusive thought and passion, Him. Oh, you know, today we've got Jesus into about 45 minutes in most churches, and then the rest of the life's yours. We even work at it so that we have a service on Saturday night, two or three on Sunday, one on Monday night, so it doesn't inconvenience you in the least. You don't have to give up anything to Jesus. You just got to say, hello, Jesus, and walk through life. I want you to know, to follow Jesus, you've got to surrender all. Lord, we've left all and followed You. We're all about You. All about You. Now, He doesn't want you to leave your job. He doesn't want you to leave your wife. He's going to make a statement here. He wants you to be absorbed with Him. And it's all about Him. If I'm playing ball or basketball or football or whatever, if I'm doing any function, if I'm working, if I'm in my neighbor, if I'm mowing my grass, whatever, if I'm on vacation, is that right? It's all about Him. And we surrender our life for His life. And we give up. We don't give up. We gain. But it is amazing there. Verse 29. And He said unto them, verily I say unto you, I assure you, there is no man that has left house or parent. Mark 10 says mother, father, or brethren. Mark 10 says sisters, or wife, or children. Mark 10 says lands, for the kingdom of God's sake. Okay? And then it says, wow. Do you know when a person in the Islamic faith gets saved, they lose everything? Everything. Everything. Your nation, it's a nation of Islam. Your nationality, your family, your education, your job, everything. When an Islamic person becomes a Christian, it's everything. When you're in a family that they've been religious of this church and this denomination for 100 years, and you break out and believe in Jesus and trust Jesus and call your freedom in Christ, usually you get deported from your family. It doesn't say leave them all. It just says if it happens to you. If your wife says to you, if you're going to be a Christian, you just might as well walk out the door. Do you know the Bible makes room for that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7? You know, if your family says, if you get a Christian, when my dad become a Christian, his family thought he was crazy. And, you know, these are issues. You might be put out of your land. I know a person in Iowa, when they got saved, they were in a farming community, and his dad was of another religion and another church, another denomination. When he got saved and started following Jesus and the Bible, his dad says, you are not in our family and our will, and you're losing it all. You either take Jesus or you take our family. It's heavy here. It says, if you have to leave houses or parents or children or family or lands for the kingdom of God's sake, we are to sacrifice. Is that right? Sacrifice. We are to surrender me. God, it's not about me, it's you. We are to sacrifice our riches, our stuff, our pleasures. And we're going to still have fun. You're going to catch that in a minute. But it's not what we will, it's what thou wilt. And it's pretty simple here to realize, and there is going to be suffering. Verse 30, look at it real quickly. Who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come everlasting life? He's promised you more in this life and in the life to come. Everlasting life. Life. If you've had your family to disown you because of your Christian faith, look around. You got a bigger family. Is that right? That's what he's saying. You got a bigger family. In Mark chapter 10, it says you will receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children's lands. You'll receive 100 times. You'd look around, you have 100 people that are in your family now. Also, if you lose your house, we will open up our houses and let you in. Is that right? That's what he's saying. He says, don't think you're going to lose. You're going to gain, because Jesus' people will come and be your grandparents and be your parents and be your brothers and sisters and help you here and help you here. You're not going to suffer. You're going to have a better family. And he says, that's the 100-fold, and we'll receive manifold more. And Mark 10 says, 100-fold in this present time. Now we're going to go to heaven forever, but we're now right here, and we're suffering. Yes, you're going to sacrifice. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. Do you know what lives in Mark? In Mark chapter 10, everybody turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 30, and we close. Mark chapter 10, verse 30. It's amazing here. We're going to receive more. We're going to be satisfied. We surrender me, we sacrifice my riches, and we'll be satisfied with Jesus and His riches, God and His riches. Mark chapter 10, verse 30, it says, but he shall receive 100-fold, 100 times, now in this life, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecution. There will be suffering. Does this world hate Jesus? It does. We kind of think, oh, Jesus is going to be the lovey-dovey of this world. No, he's not. Now, he's becoming popular. Do you know the popularization of Jesus has hurt the Jesus movement, the true biblical Jesus movement, because it's just popular. It doesn't cost you anything. I want you to know, if you're going to follow Jesus, you got to surrender all of you. Secondly, you got to sacrifice your stuff. And then thirdly, you got to be satisfied in Him and His stuff, His riches. And you realize, wow, we've blessed all. And in the world to come, everlasting life. And then verse 31, I close. Mark 10, 31. For many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be what? First. New Living says, but many who are the greatest now will be the least important then, and those who seem least important now will be the greatest then. It's good. You keep living for God, because it's going to give you joy in life. It's there. It's life and joy. If you're going to follow Jesus, it's surrender. It's worth it. It's sacrifice. It's worth it. It's satisfying. It's worth it. It's life and joy. just like a figure skater gives everything. And then they win the gold medal, and they would say it was worth it, okay? Now, I don't see it because there's another million that haven't got it at all. They pay dearly and have nothing. Do you know you can be a figure skater and be perfect, perfect, perfect all the way to the Olympics, and in the Olympics fall down and twist your ankle and it's over. Is that right? It's over. I want you to know, when you're with God and you surrender all and you sacrifice all and you're satisfied with Him, no matter where you are, rising and falling in your Christian life, He's never going to let you down. Never. And life and joy, it comes there. And heaven's going to be worth it all. And the ones that look like they're winning now are going to lose. And the ones that look like they're losing now are going to win. That's why I'm going to give my whole life to Jesus, because it is worth it. Put the next slide up. Yes, Jesus is worth it. All the sacrifice, all the surrender, all the satisfied in Him and not in me, and the life and joy that it gives me to walk with Him, because it's wonderful, because He's the God of the impossible. Huh? He's the God of the impossible, and He's my God. And I got to surrender to Him, sacrifice for Him, be satisfied in Him, and have life and joy because of it, because that is where living is all about. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes in prayer. We're going to sing a song, "I'll Live for Him Who Died for Me. How happy then my life shall be." I'm going to live it. How many this morning say, "Preacher, God's really speaking to me to be all out for Him. Yes, I have to live in this world. I have to do in this world. I have to make a living. I have to go here, go there. But it's all about Him. And I'm going to surrender all of my life to Him. And if I have to sacrifice, I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to be satisfied to Him, because that is where true life and real life and joy is." I needed this message this morning, preacher. Let me see your hand. I needed this message this morning. I needed it. That's what it's all about. Any of this morning say, "Preacher, I've been living for myself. I've not been thinking much about Jesus. I just come to church on Sunday morning and then don't think about it the rest of the week. And I need to start being a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday Christian instead of just a Sunday dude. Pray for me, preacher, that I be more committed, surrendered, sacrificing, satisfying in Jesus." Can I see your hand? I'm messing up. I'm just a Sunday dude, and I need Jesus all the time. Amen. Many hands, many hands. Any others? Would you like to enter that prayer? Would you like to enter? "Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm just a Sunday dude, and I don't let Jesus just dominate, capture my whole life, and just live and have joy and peace in Him." Any others? "Preacher, pray for me." Come on. I see that hand. I see that hand. Lord Jesus, help us as we sing this song to recommit ourselves to living for You. In Jesus' name, amen.